meeting is now being recorded.
Good afternoon, good morning, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedure Subteam Track 2 Legal Regulatory Issues held on the 15th of June, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? Thank you. Hearing no names, I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for recording purposes, and please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it over to our co-chair, Michael Fleming. Please begin.
Good morning from the land of the rising sun, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today in what is a continuation of our previous topic that we talked about just roughly a month ago, vertical integration. First of all, I'd just like to go straight through our agenda as we should. SOI update. Is there anyone that has an updated statement of interest by chance? Hearing none. If you do have an updated statement of interest, please share that with the group via the chat. Moving on, I feel that, Julie, is it possible to get the ability to scroll down, or perhaps we should unseat the slides for everyone? Oh, thank you. Wonderful. All right. So, as a quick introduction, we posted this last time for everyone to see, but kind of a disclaimer, if you will. The discussion on vertical integration is something that is not starting from scratch. At this stage, we are returning to a going back to a completely vertically separated environment is impractical and not intended to be the focus of our work. This is here to stay. Our goal is to look at and see if if the potential concerns with vertical integration if there has been evidence of those concerns coming to pass. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, there has been actually evidence of the problems with vertical integration. That is what we're looking at and trying to see if we can work with that if that evidence needs to basically lead to changes in how vertical integration is done today. So it is our belief that we do not start from scratch in these concepts, but work to better the system for it is today. So very quickly, before we jump on vertical integration, we do have a little bit of homework. Upcoming topics for ICANN 59 Johannesburg. So at this point, we have already gone over all of our topics. Thank you, everyone, for the long adventure that it has been. And we are tasked with having two topics at ICANN 59. If I'm correct, we have about 30 to 45 minutes for Work Track 2 topics alone at ICANN 59. Steve, correct me if I'm wrong. But after Phil and I have discussed, and we figured that would be just enough time to have further development on two topics that we've already gone over. And as a recommendation, what Phil and I feel would need more development at this stage would be topics such as the registry agreement, closed generics, or registrant protections. Ideally, we'd feel that we could have two of these topics be discussed. However, to be fair, and I would love to hear everyone else's opinion on what topics to cover at ICANN 59, if you turn with me to slide 5, you will see a list of our current working track through topics, at least the ones we have gone over and the ones we are able to new policy developments on at this stage. I am going to go, I would like to go through each of these and see if there is agreement or if anyone has a special request that it would be more important to discuss this certain topic, for example. So how could we maybe do this, the green system, green and red system? So if you agree with discussing this topic, go ahead and do a green check mark, and if you disagree, go ahead and do a red check mark. So Cheryl's already jumping into the green. So in how many would feel that going over the base registry agreement in further detail would be, or going over the base registry agreement, discussing the base registry agreement at ICANN 59 would be worthwhile? Paul McCready, go ahead.
Thanks, Paul McCready, for the record. So what's the question? The question that the larger plenary would discuss these things, or that we as a smaller group have time together to discuss these things? It's just not clear. Thanks.
I'm sorry. The larger group at ICANN 59. So at ICANN 59, these would be the topics we bring up, and we engage not just the regular individuals that attend the working, the full working group, but the community. We have the opportunity to engage the community as well. Does that make sense?
Thank you.
Okay, perfect. All right. So, Christina Rosette, go ahead.
Yeah, Christina Rosette from Amazon Registry. I had indicated that I disagree with trying to cover the base registry agreement, and perhaps it's because I misunderstand the scope of what we're going to be doing. But I don't think it's realistic to think that we're going to have any kind of meaningful discussion about the base registry agreement in half of a 45-minute session. I'm not opposed to discussing it. I just don't think that trying to fit it into 22 or 23 minutes is realistic. I read that agreement probably three times a week, and there are still parts of it that are not as clear to me as I wish they were. I just think in terms of what we can do with our time, our face-to-face time, to use it most efficiently, I don't think the base registry agreement is one of those things.
Thanks, Christina. And in no way would I think that we would go over the full registry agreement as is. I think the question being posed is the one that we've already started on, and that question is the one where should there be further registry? Should there only be one single registry agreement, or should there be multiple registry agreements, or should there only be one registry agreement with multiple sections? We've had a lot of feedback up until this point. No consensus at the current time, but it would be an opportunity to have further development of, and hear and engage people's opinion. Sorry, I got a frog in my throat, but that is how I would envision the discussion in regards to the registry. Would you like to respond? You still have a hand up? Paul McCready, you have your hand up again.
Thanks. Paul McCready here. I think applicant terms and conditions falls into the same category. I just don't think we would have time to even introduce those in the time period allotted.
Thank you, Paul. All right, and that's perfect. That's good input. If that is the case, can we just go through the list, and unless anyone has, I'm just trying to think. Let's try the green system, and we have one. Christina doesn't think we should go through the registry, and I'm perfectly willing to consider another topic, but let's go through the list and see, unless there's strict opposition, let's just go through the list and see if we can't find the best topic to consider. So, registrant protections. Susan Penn, I think you had a question. Did Steve answer that in detail? Steve. Yes, Steve did answer that. Okay. So, how do individuals think about us addressing registrant protections at ICANN 59? Does anyone agree?
Michael, Cheryl here. How many questions do you want to deal with? How many topics do you want to deal with in the time allocated? Because, you know, that also affects responses.
So just two topics in this discussion. We want to choose two topics out of these, out of this list that we could have further detail on. And the questions would be likely ones that we've already posed, and use some of the questions perhaps from CC2. So I'm thinking at this point, since we don't have a lot of time at ICANN 59, then perhaps we should focus on some of the later subjects that we've introduced at this point. Paul McGrady, go ahead.
Thanks, Paul McGrady here. I'm sorry to be talking so much. I think going through these item by item and raising red hands or green ones are going to – that will eat the call. May I make a suggestion that you instead have us type in our number one topic into the chat, and while we are talking about vertical integration, maybe we could ask staff to go through and do a quick count and tell us which of these items came up, you know, 1, 2, and 3, maybe 4, and then we could have a chat about which of the, you know, top 4 make it. Thanks.
That's a great idea, Paul. I love that. Yes, Christina, we can take this to the email list. I just would ask that everyone voice what they would like to talk about probably early next week so we can prepare. Oh, perfect. Okay, so let's go with Paul's idea. If everyone could go with the number one topic they're for and throw that into the chat, then we'll have staff will collect that, and we'll just move on in the current time. Does anyone have any specific questions about what a certain topic is about and how far we might have gotten? Okay. Then let's go ahead and let everyone just throw their topic into the chat. Thank you for the great suggestion, Paul. So then I'm going to now pass it over to Phil for vertical integration. Phil, are you able to start from slide 6, or would you like me to go over the recap of our last call?
Hi, Michael. If you want to go over the recap, I don't mind. I was going to go through the recap, and then I was going to suggest that Steve or Emily, if they could pull up the CC2 comments. And I've been going through that. We can go through all those. Initially,
we're
go
look
that,
the
and then
comments.
Step up with the compliance stuff after that.
So we're going to go through the CC2 comments?
Still want to meet the CC2. Sorry?
We're going to go through the CC2 comments?
Yeah. So I've gone through them this afternoon, and there's some really good meaty stuff in there, which I think could get the conversation going. So I prefer to do that first, and then I'll follow up. If there's time, I'll follow up with the contractual compliance stuff.
Okay. all right. So let's go through the recap then. I'm sorry, could we get the slides back up, please? Oh, thank you so much. So just a quick recap of our last call. If you can join me on slide 6. Specifically last time, what last time was about was mainly an introduction to what what vertebration is, how it started, and and where we are today. So we went over the origins of vertical integration. This was a history of the topic. Then we also went over the status quo, looking at the status quo of what it was in 2007, and seeing that GNSO policy in regards to new GTLDs did not address vertical integration, but there was a change in that there was a special PDP that was actually conducted on vertical integration, which resulted in the board overturning its prior decision in regards to not allowing vertical integration. But we also went over the potential concerns, which would be harmful to competition, inequitable access to registry services or data, more complex compliance, easier to engage in domain tasting, an impact on registry choice, and the potential benefits of which are help of economy scales, helpful to TLDs, single user based, with a limited registration base, and registry distribution channel. And then we looked at how vertical integration can be deployed, which is directly with the code of conduct, and we also looked at the specific exemptions in regards to the code of conduct, as well as even if the code of conduct is exempted from the code of conduct, they are still subject to sections 2.8 and 2.9. So, continuing discussion, we have received some data back from compliance that we sent out in regards to some questions which we felt would be beneficial to our discussion on vertical integration to distinguish if those potential concerns have come to root. In other words, to see if there's actually a base for those concerns, if there's evidence of that. Our hope is to have a database driven policy development on this. So the questions that we did submit to contractual compliance were, has contractual compliance received any complaints about and related to vertically integrated entities? And if so, have any been determined to have a foundation? If so, are there any statistics or other information that compliance might be able to share? And our second question was, in performing audits of registries and registrars, is vertical integration an element of the review? And if so, are there any statistics or other information compliance might be able to share? So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Phil. Phil, I'd really suggest using the contractual compliance back from contractual compliance before looking at CC2, as this is kind of why we had a special the continuation of vertical integration, is to look at those responses from contractual compliance, and if we have time, we'll jump into the discussion from CC2. Okay. So. All right, with that, I turn it over to Phil. Thank you.
Yeah. So can we load up that document then, please, Emily or Steve, Julie? Is that possible? Thanks, Steve. So this is the responses we got out from compliance. So I'll blow it up a little bit so I can see it myself, and we can read through it. Maybe we'll be able to, as we go down it, Steve or Emily, maybe you could pull up the links there that they've shown. But so here we go. So I'm just going to reel this off and with you all, and we can follow up with some questions afterwards as we go through it. So these are the kind of four or five key questions we ask. So firstly, as contractual, through Steve, thanks Steve for doing this for us, it's much appreciated. Has contractual compliance received any complaints about or related to vertically integrated entities? And the response we got back was, yes, I can, contractual compliance has received complaints about vertical integrated registry operators and registrars. I'll stop there. I guess everybody can hear me, because I do not wish to have the same problems we had a couple of weeks ago. So am I coming through loud and clear, or am I too soft, too loud? Everybody okay with that? I've got my speaker on today.
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear.
Great. Thanks, Michael.
Cough a little bit.
Okay, so we can just... Yeah. Anybody got any problems? Just please put it on the chat. So basically, yeah. So ICANN Contractual Compliance has received complaints about vertical integrated registry operators and registrars. However, those complaints were related to the contracted party's vertical integration and being limited to registry operators. Registry operators are required to comply with the Code of Conduct in Specification 9 of the Registry Agreement, as we all know, which imposes certain requirements related to registry operators, related entities, among other things. And also Section 2.9 of the Registry Agreement, which requires registry operators to provide non-discriminatory access to registry services to all ICANN-accredited registrars that enter into and are in compliance with the Registry Registrar Agreement, the RRA, for the top-level domain. I noticed ICANN about its affiliates. Now, does everybody know what the word, what you understand by affiliates, or what I understand about it, an affiliate from a financial point of view as an accountant here? To me, an affiliate is, in England, I call it a subsidiary company, i.e. the registry at the top owns or controls the registrar or the company below it.
Clearly defines an affiliate.
Sure.
The registry agreement does clearly define what an affiliate is. So that would be a good definition to turn to if you'd like to explain that.
Okay. All right. Right. Let's go over that. So registers are required to comply with Section 3.21 of the 2013 Registrar Accreditation Agreement, which imposes certain requirements related to registrar affiliation with registry operators. So ICANN Contractual Compliance has a dedicated Code of Conduct compliant web form. I don't know how many of you on the call have used this, but there's the link if we need to, go back and have a look at what's in there, or the actual form. So that through this form, then ICANN receives complaints from external complainants, including internet users and registrars, related to the registry operators' compliance with the Code of Conduct in Specification 9 of the RA. ICANN also receives complaints related to the above referenced provision in Section 2.9 of the RA. These complaints are processed in the registry other complaint type, whatever that means. So the part A of the question, if so, how many are being determined to have a foundation? The answer came back was yes, some of the complainants received by ICANN about virtually integrated registry operators have been confirmed as in scope of the RA. These complaints are forwarded to the registry operator for purposes of addressing the complaint and providing ICANN with information sufficient to demonstrate compliance with the Code of Conduct in Specification 9 and also 2.9 of the RA. So then, this part B of the question was, so if so, are there any statistics or other information you might be able to share with us? ICANN responded, Contractual Compliance responded, ICANN has processed less than 10 complaints against registry operators as it relates to their compliance with the Code of Conduct in Specification 9 and Section 2.9 of the RA. And then they've got various metrics, to be honest, I haven't had a look at yet, but metrics regarding these complaint types are reported in the performance reports. I don't know when these performance reports, how often they come out. I guess it's a question we need to follow up on. And there's the link. So additionally, ICANN performs proactive monitoring a registry operator's compliance with the Code of Conduct via its annual review of registry operators' annual certifications of compliance with Spec 9, Code of Conduct exemptions, and Spec 13. Then it's given us another link, which was relating to March 17. So then it goes on, of the approximately 750 new GTLDs, currently there's about 1,200, isn't there, that ICANN reviewed during the 2017 effort, so I guess they did this back in March 17, 197 of them were subject to the Code of Conduct annual certification requirements. And only 9 GTLDs received related compliance inquiries. So as a percentage, that's very low, and that's pretty encouraging. These 9 inquiries, which have now been resolved, focused on ensuring compliance with the certification signatory requirements and the provision of the results of the registry operator's annual internal reviews. Now, as we read this, I guess a number of you have obviously got clients, and you've probably done our registries, and they've also been through this whole process. So it would be good if you're prepared to give your feedback, you know, how your clients or the registries have dealt with all this. So carries on. There have been no registry operators, and so it then follows on. There have been no registry operators that have been unable to demonstrate compliance with the Code of Conduct or Section 2.9 upon request or after remediation. I wonder what they mean by remediation and what that involves. So then it carries on. Question number 2 we put out. In performing audits of registries and registrars, is vertical integration an element of the reviews? Response came back, yes, vertical integration is an element of ICANN's contractual compliance audit program for both registrars and registry operators. Compliance with the Code of Conduct in Spec 9 and Section 2.9 of the DRA are tested in the registry audit, which is obviously part of the requirement of the DRA, which we could go into the details on that. Additionally, Section 3.21 of the 2013 Registry Accreditation Agreement is subject to testing in the registrar audit program. So then it carries on. If so, are there any statistics or other information you might be able to share? We ask that. Contracted parties that have been audited to date have demonstrated compliance with the above reference provision upon request or after remediation. Well, that's a kind of a wishy-washy answer, the way I'm looking at it. So then it carries on. Information regarding audit findings are published in the audit report displayed by year at, and there's the link, so we could follow up on all this. So having read through that, Do any of you wish to follow up on that and your experiences through your clients? Christina, would you like to go ahead?
Yeah, Christina Rosette from Amazon Registry. I think if we're going to have any further discussion of this topic or perhaps base any decisions or recommendations on the information that we've received so far from compliance, I do think that we need to go back to them with some follow-up questions. For example, with 1B, we don't really have enough information to provide context for that.
Let's go back up.
For example, were there 1,000 complaints against registry operators? And if so, then you take 10 against 1,000. That's a pretty low percentage. Were there 100 complaints against registry operators? Then it's 10%. And I think the other thing we would want to know is, were all the what percentage of the how many registry operators were encompassed by those complaints? Because it's one thing if you would have 10 complaints against 10 different registry operators. It's another thing if you have 10 complaints against one, because you know then that demonstrates different issues. But I do think I'm not opposed to our considering this information, but I think if we're going to try and act on it, we need to make sure we have a complete picture in terms of data.
Thank you, Christina.
Sure,
if you don't mind, I just have a point.
Sure, Michael.
So I've actually had a similar response to you. when I first read the 1B, it said that they've processed less than 10 complaints. And this appears to be in response to the Code of Conduct and Section 2.9. So if a complaint submitted by a third party doesn't necessarily encompass both the Code of Conduct and the Section 2.9, then it appears it doesn't fall into these less than 10 complaints, or it's not counted in these less than 10 complaints. The metrics page shows about 110 complaints submitted in regards to the Code of Conduct specifically in 2017, or at least the April 2016 and 2017 bracket. But at the same time, it's, like you said, there's really, it's really vague and there's not enough information available. So we are also waiting on, further information from compliance and figures of how many, registries are vertically integrated. And we will definitely take, this question as a follow-up to, see how many of those registries receive complaints, or how many of these less than 10. I think that a more complete response or a more detailed response would very much help us. I think that the data that's listed on the metrics page is too vague at this point to offer us any possible development, or at least use it towards the policy development, because it's none of the data on the metrics page is very clear how it contributes to the vertical integration argument. And as Steve pointed out, there have been no breaches up until this point. That is, I do think that's clearly communicated within this document. Yeah, so there have been no registry operators that have been unable to demonstrate complete compliance with the Code of Conduct or 2.9. So, all registry operators have been compliant with the vertical integration requirements. Sorry, that's just my takeaway, and I'll open the mic for anybody else that has some takeaways from, or how they'd like to move forward with this data.
Hey, Michael, this is Steve. I have my hand up.
Oh, go ahead and start, Steve.
Yes, sorry. Missed you, Steve.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Phil. This is Steve Chan from staff. And so along with you guys, I had a little bit of trouble interpreting these results. And I think to some degree for me, it was just a lack of familiarity. But in my conversations with contractual compliance to better understand the information and responses that they provided, the number of code of conduct complaints that they received is, you know, a relatively high number. Let's say like 100 in the last year over year, essentially from like say April 2016 to April 2017. But as Michael pointed out, the number in which the Code of Conduct and Specification, Section 2.9 of the RA are the issue for the complaint is less than 10. So one way to interpret that is that complaints that are specific to vertical integration, there's less than 10. And of those, all of them have been cured or remediated, as the word they used. So hopefully that helps. I'm not an expert on this information, but I don't know. Hopefully that helps. Thanks.
Yeah. Michael, can I jump in now? So, Steve, I guess there's an issue here, but we cannot delve any further because this is, as I see it, private information between the registry operator and ICANN, right? We cannot delve any further into individual registry operators. Is that the take on it?
Steve, we wouldn't be able to get the names of those registry operators, but we could get numbers. And numbers would, in this case, would be enough to base information on, or base policy development on, I believe.
So I'm not sure if you're expecting a response. This is Steve again from staff, and I would agree with that assessment. We are unable to provide you with the names of the parties that were subject to those complaints. And by we, I mean contractual parties. Thanks.
Okay, so this is a fill for the record. So as Christina says, I mean, the issue could be that you could get one operator, say a big portfolio player, that's got all the complaints or whatever, and therefore the whole statistics are totally distorted because it's only one player in the whole 1,000 of them or 750 or whatever it is. So it's a tricky one. And then to be honest with you, my hat's going on with the I'm looking at the registry agreement and with my accounting hat on and my auditing hat on here. And obviously the other issue is it says 2.11. I can my from time to time not to exceed twice per calendar year conduct or engage third party to conduct contractual compliance audit. Well, I'd love to know, you know, by each registry operator, each registry, you know, how many audits they've actually had and where ICANN is in the whole process and basically what their audit program is and what they're trying to do and achieve here. And this is just one element of it. So I think there's a lot more that could be flushed out to really understand what's happening in the bigger picture. Anyway.
Let me jump in really quick. The data that contractual compliance has would be our basis for moving forward. The reason behind the audits is to determine exactly whether or not registries are within the contractual compliance. That itself is a completely different topic, but the vertical integration issue is a part of that. The reason we're looking at the 2017 data is because that is the time period where you've had, of course it's the most recent audit, but it's also the time period where you had the most registries contracted with ICANN. And if you're going to pull any data, that would be the best area. Whether or not the complaints are driven to just one registry, I think that is room for us to develop policy on and to establish whether or not the possible concerns, whether or not those possible concerns with vertical integration that were originally posed, whether or not there's evidence of those concerns. And based upon that, I think there is a takeaway from the low number of complaints and the fact that there have not been breaches. Christine has offered a very good suggestion in the chat. Further data that we could request for compliance would be how many registry operators are vertically integrated, and of that number, how many are within the same corporate family. So this is kind of building upon what we're currently waiting on now. How many complaints were there against ROs? Of the complaints, overall, regardless of whether due to vertical integration, and of the complaints referred to in the 1B answer, how many ROs were those complaints against? So the data that we're getting back from contractual clients is how we need to move forward. That's how I feel. And if unless anyone feels opposed to that, I think that this would be whether or not we're able to establish whether or not those concern, there is evidence of concerns, and if not, we may want to reflect that into policy.
Yeah. Michael, can I jump in now? Phil, for the record here. Christina, I like your comment very much, and that's exactly where I was going with this. The next stage of this call is exactly these key kind of questions you're asking, and then I totally agree with you as well. You mean to say there's been 10 complaints in 4 years? I'm sorry. Maybe it's because I'm English, but I just I just don't believe that. I just don't get that. It just doesn't tally in my book. Anyway, I guess we just keep pressing away here, try and get to the bottom of this. So shall I go on to the CC2 comments now, Michael? Or does anybody else want to raise a hand? Got any thoughts on all this? Note takers? No? Okay. So, Susan's made a statement on the chat. I think it would also be helpful to know how many registries, if any, have required to conduct remediation in some way. Yeah, that's what I was getting at earlier. I agree with that totally. What do they mean by remediation? What does that involve? I think no breaches means no formal breach notice. Good point. Absolutely good point. But there may have been action required. Yep, I agree. I agree with that, Susan. That's spot on there. Sure. Okay. Right. So yeah, should we go on to the CC2 comments? Because these are, we move away from this, and these are comments that have been put forward by some of your companies actually on the call, and they're very, very interesting and very revealing in my book. So, so Steve or Emily, Julie, could we pull up the CC2 comments that I requested in the chat earlier, please? So these are CC2 comments specifically on vertical integration and vertical separation, which I guess will be covered a lot more in Johannesburg, which unfortunately I'm not going to be there. But so here we go. These are very interesting and very revealing, and they really highlight what's been going on for the last 4 years. So I'll try and I'm on page one here. Blow it up a bit more so I can read it better. But here we go. 2.6, registrar non-discrimination and registrar separation. So this is, ICANN staff have tried to break it down a lot more into key questions and key thoughts and trying to put it together. So these are coming back. And the first one, actually, I think you can see, yeah, it's from Google. And I think it really, really does get to the bottom of what's been going on. I don't know who put this together, but it's spot on in my book. Maybe it was Jordan Buchanan. But the review of whether requirements regarding registrar relationships are fit for the current marketplace. And remember, you know, VI and all this was done back in 2011. Obviously, I was involved in it. So a lot of things have changed since then, a hell of a lot of things. So Google's written here, pre-existing requirements for registrar relationships may not be fully tailored for today's domain name marketplace. Totally agree on that one. One example is the concept of closed TLDs, which we've obviously been discussing, that emerged from the 2012 round. In the context of a closed TLD, the justification for registrar non-discrimination requirements do not clearly apply, given that the registry, as a sole registrant, will ultimately have discretion to select its registrar regardless of whether multiple registrars have been onboarded onto the platform. While the change made through the introduction of Spec 13, wherein qualified .brand TLDs could select 1 to 3, and that's a crucial thing, 1 to 3 preferred, in inverted commas, registrars. Aim to address these issues. It may only be a partial solution, and I totally agree with that. So I'll carry on. The working group should consider whether to permit closed TLDs to self-allocate all domain names, given that those domains will be self-registered, yep, not sold, yep. In any case,
carve-outs granted to dot brands should be extended to TLDs. That, so it's an additional point. So carve-outs granted to dot brands should be extended to TLDs that qualify for an exemption to the Registry Operator Code of Conduct, since these TLDs have also have a single registry. And it carries on. Likewise, the second, third point, likewise, while registry and registrar separation restrictions were developed to promote competition, exactly, in the marketplace, they may impede new entrants to the marketplace from competing effectively with legacy players, I guess being .com. Google takes the requirements associated with cross-ownership of a registry and registrar seriously and accordingly has experienced inefficiencies and additional costs, whatever they be, on account of some of these separation requirements. These restrictions would be likely to be harsher, have a harsher effect on smaller businesses trying to enter the domain.
Bill,
yeah. Yes, Michael.
Bill, are we going to go through every single CC2 comment in regards to this?
Well, actually, I think
we have a lot.
Sure, we have a lot here. That's what I'm saying is there's a lot of information in here, which is all very, very relevant to this whole issue. I mean, as I say,
I think it's relevant, but I don't think reading off each comment for the next 12 minutes is going to get us.
Yeah, sure, but it's giving everybody time to read it through and think about it, what their thought processes are on it, to be honest with you. I mean, it's bringing up a key point there, two, three key points. Summarizing it, basically, at the moment, a dot brand can have 1 to 3 preferred registrars, preferred in inverted commas. What it's getting at is, the crux of it is, why do they need 1 to 3? They just need one. They just need one registrar. I mean, there's your policy decision there and then, in my opinion. I mean, would anybody else like to comment on that?
Well, so I can comment on that, saying that it's not necessary for them to use up to three. They're able to use up to three is the thing. There's some individuals that work in or brand TLDs that go into China. Then it's they can't always. Sometimes they actually have to use a Chinese registrar. But that's a separate argument. But can you perhaps maybe summarize each individual? Because I'm sure you've probably already gone through these, and if you could summarize what each individual said very, very quickly, and then maybe individuals could comment on that. But Christina has her hand up, and then she's also suggested that we should all read these individually. But Christina, why don't you go ahead, and then Phil can go through these comments and basically, instead of reading all of them, just to provide a summary that he's already prepared.
Christina Rosette from Amazon Registry for the transcript. And I guess at the outset, I want to make really clear, I think it's really important that we discuss these comments. But I do think that we all need to take on for ourselves obligation and commitment to read them so that we can use the time on our calls and perhaps in our face-to-face, and perhaps this is a topic we talk about in our face-to-face, that we can use that time more efficiently. And as we go through for each question, we could simply just poll whether anyone in the team wants to make any particular note about any of the comments. And in response to your earlier question, Phil, about why you would want three, redundancy, basically. You may want to make sure that you've got more than one registrar for your dot brand, even though you're allowed to only have one, simply to ensure that if there's some issue, it would never be the case that registrations can't go through.
Okay, yeah. So for the record, thanks, Christina. I think actually there's, when we go down the comments further down, I think there's one from the BIG, which is actually justifying that there should only be one. So that's the key thought processes on this one. But, I totally agree with you that I shouldn't be reading them out because I was trying to get everybody to, think as I read it out, try and obviously think it through and come up with their thoughts.
as I tried to do it slowly, but maybe they didn't get me here. For time's sake, I'll try and summarize it quickly. Just jumping in here, Jeff, thanks, Jeff. He's asked a couple of questions here. I'll make a couple of comments. Thanks, Jeff. So Jeff has said, is the question you're asking whether all TLDs should be able to have one to three registrars? Well, my personal opinion on that, Jeff, coming back to you, is no, I think specifically this is what I call closed brands, closed-op brands. But then what Google's pointing out is further down the track here is maybe it should be opened up to more than closed-op brands. So the closed-op brands have 1 to 3 registrars and other registries, they comply with certain things. Now, clearly, obviously, if you're an open TLD, you'll want as many registrars as you possibly can to cover your whole marketplace. And that's a completely separate issue. And that's obviously not relevant to this. No comment from Jeff here. As the PDP in the chat here, as the PD working group, we do have to respond to all the comments as to how we consider them. So we do need to read all the comments aloud. Oh, okay. Thanks, Jeff. Maybe what we should do is, in preparation for Joburg, for those of you attending, maybe we follow up on that particular comment by Google, and we do some kind of poll or something, how we all feel about it, and whether we should stick with the 1 to 3, or we should go down to 1, or however we do it. And we create a question out of that to then respond to it in the... Maybe we put, Michael and I put some kind of further question to that particular point, so it's discussed in Joburg, and maybe we use this whole area as one of our topics to discuss in the 45 minutes or whatever it is we've got. I don't know what anybody else thinks about that. I'm talking on here. Yes, Susan, you've got your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Hi, Susan Clay. I don't know if this was really what you were intending to say, but I don't think we should specifically be singling out, you know, one comment from Google and having a detailed debate about it. I think, as others have mentioned, we do need to take on our own responsibility for reading all of the comments, and then we should probably have a conversation and a discussion about issues raised across the comments as a whole, but I don't think we should be singling out one particular comment from one particular for some kind
sure.
of specialist treatment. I'm not sure if that was really what you were intending to say, but just in case.
Late night, probably putting it across wrongly. No, I mean, seriously, there's a hell of a lot of issues and comments further down on the CCTs, quite frankly, from affiliates, from your company, Validaos, and there's a whole mix of them, I need to summarize those and put them out to the list maybe, so that we've got sort of 6 or 7 key areas that they're all covering, so then we can put it together in Joburg.
So I, let me jump in here. I'm just going to say that when we do go through CC2. We're going to go through it as a second pass, and we will have the time. We will take the time, and we will go through these comments as a group, and we're going to. And as Jeff said, we're going to probably group these into different categories of comments, and we're not going to single them. We're not going to single them out, but I think. We have less than 5 minutes remaining of the call, and at this point, rather than going through the CC2 or even more the CC2, we should take it to any other business and perhaps end the call.
Sure. Okay. Perhaps as Jeff said, I could go through all these comments and try to put them into categories. In preparation for Joburg, perhaps that would be a way forward. I don't know. Anyway, I'll let you schedule any other business.
Steve, go ahead.
Thanks, Michael. This is Steve Chan from staff, and I just wanted to go through a couple of potential next steps. One is related to choosing the topics for ICANN 59. I didn't see any objections to the approach suggested by, I believe, Christina, about pulling out the top four topics and then circulating that via email so that those that are not on this call are able to participate. See if I see any disagreement to that.
Definitely. I'm not opposed to that at all. Let's do that.
Good. The other thing I just wanted to touch on is that there seemed to be a request for additional or perhaps clarifying questions for compliance. I'm not sure if those have formalized and gotten agreement through this work check. So from our perspective, I'm not sure if we have an action item there or not. But if we do, happy to help with that. But I think we might need some help in formulating what those look like exactly. Thanks.
I think we got a good general idea from individuals in this call. Having more specific details in regards to those less than 10 complaints received, I can help you with formulating those after the call. But we have a good base to work with. But we'll make that an action item. Did you have any other advice? A next step advice? No? Okay. If so, then we're going to, so just not to confuse anybody, but Joburg will probably incorporate some of the comments from CC2. It will incorporate the comments from CC2, at least the feedback in a categorized readable form, a digestible form, and in relation to the topics that we choose, that are chosen from the mailing list. Steve, the only thing I would suggest is that we put a deadline for individuals to reply on the mailing list probably next Wednesday, so we are able to use some of that time to get prepared for Joburg. And as Paul McGrady said, the next step is beer for me. It's 7 a.m. for me, and I'm going to let you guys on your side drink, and I'm just going to say thank you very much for coming today, and everyone have a good day, and we'll see those in Joburg, and definitely please participate remotely for those not coming. I think we look forward to having you. Okay. Good day, all. This is Michael from Japan saying good night, world. I can't remember what I usually say. So, but thank you very much for joining us.
Good night.
Good morning, Michael.
Michael.
Morning. Hey, bye.
Thank you. Today's meeting is adjourned. Please disconnect all lines, and to everyone, have a wonderful day.